Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Study, Oil, Gas, Crucial to Economy. API Exec, Analysis's goal is to inform public officials of industry's impact, by Mella McEwen. As global economies begin to open and demand for energy climbs as the pandemic ebbs, here comes an in-depth look at the economic impact of the nation's energy industry on Texas and the nation. An analysis prepared by PricewaterhouseCoopers for the American Petroleum Institute found the industry supported 11.3 million total U.S. jobs in 2019 across all 50 states, and had an impact on the nation's gross domestic product of nearly $1.7 trillion, or nearly 8% of the national total. The goal of the study is to inform the public and policymakers of the vast economic and employment opportunities from the oil and gas industry, said Frank Macchiarola, API's Senior Vice President of Policy, Economics, and Regulatory Affairs. Speaking with the Reporter Telegram by telephone, he said the study shows how essential the industry is to the U.S. and to Texas. And as the nation and the world move on from the pandemic and grow industries again, he said the oil and gas industry will lead that growth. For policymakers, they need to make sure they continue the direction of politics that help achieve the outlook found in the study, he said. Focusing on Texas, the study found the industry supported more than 2.5 million jobs statewide, generating $411.6 billion toward the state's gross domestic product and ranking as the state with the highest share of total economic contributions from the industry. Texans understand the essential role of oil and gas, said Todd Staples, president of the Texas Oil and Gas Association, joining Macchiarola in speaking with the Reporter Telegram. The Permian Basin is the epicenter, Staples noted, noting that Congressman August Pfluger's 11th District, which includes Midland, has the most energy-related jobs of any congressional district in the nation. In fact, he said 10 of the top 15 districts with energy-related jobs were in Texas. It's important we get the message to the public, and they have a clear understanding of the phenomenal role the industry plays in Texas and the U.S., Staples said. Macchiarola noted that Americans benefited from the nation's energy resurgence, led by the unconventional shales in the Permian Basin, by seeing energy costs decline, while healthcare, education, and other costs were rising by double digits. He said he hopes the Biden administration will take the report's findings on the economic impact of the industry into account as it considers actions such as the moratorium on oil and gas leasing on federal lands and tax policies. They need to take a step back and reconsider some actions, he said. Hopefully, they will take the findings into account. He said he's also hopeful people will understand the impact of the industry, show strong support for the industry, and make those views known to elected officials. Staples acknowledged rising concerns about the environment and the energy industry's impact, noting that TXOGA members are being proactive in addressing concerns such as emissions and routine flaring. Agreed, Macchiarola, our industry is focusing on dual challenges. One is continuing to provide affordable, reliable energy that's demanded around the world while addressing climate change and emissions, not only from our industry, but that result for the consumption of the energy we provide. The United States leads the world in emissions reductions in large part because of the growth of natural gas in power generation. That is something Macchiarola said should be exported around the globe via liquefied natural gas exports to other nations so they can meet their own climate goals. Staples agreed, saying continued advancement in carbon capture, utilization, and storage will also be an important aspect of the industry going forward. TXOGA members are focusing on a lower carbon future while still providing affordable, reliable energy, he said. Oil and gas operators are becoming technology and innovation companies, he said, using research and development to pioneer environment-protecting breakthroughs. The industry's future growth will shape Texas and the U.S., and policies are needed to continue supporting U.S. energy development, energy independence, and reducing reliance on imported energy, Staples said. This article is entitled, Johnson Files to Run for Council. Parks will be pillar of 33-year-old's run to fill one of two at-large seats. By Stuart Doreen. Parks introduced Dustin Johnson to city government, and now the 33-year-old is looking for more to represent Midlanders on the city council. The photographer has long used the William and Sam Memorial Skate Park inside Beale Park in southwest Midland. He has worked over the years to bring concerns to the Midland City Council about possible improvements to the facility. On Monday, he put his name as an at-large candidate on the November 2nd ballot. Midlanders will elect two candidates from the expected pool of candidates to serve at-large or citywide. Also on the ballot are seats in District 1, generally North Midland, and District 2, generally East and South Midland. Johnson is a 33-year-old who graduated from Lee High School and has spent most of his life in Midland. He said this week that he sees himself as the change candidate and that his interests in local government go beyond the skate park. Parks will be a pillar of Johnson's campaign as he believes Midlanders want more opportunities for recreation, including outdoor gyms, adult sports leagues, and other things that will keep residents from having to leave the city to participate in recreation elsewhere, like Lubbock, San Angelo, or the Metroplex. He expects better parks opportunities also will bring more visitors to Midland. Johnson said Midland's road system is another priority. Roads, he said, don't need to be built, torn up, and built again. He also said that a below-average road system, condition-wise, is a threat to vehicles across the city and creates an extra financial burden for residents living paycheck to paycheck. The rest of his platform will be based on what he hears from residents at town halls he will hold through Election Day and beyond. He wants residents to approach him about city government at town halls, including the first one at 2 p.m. Saturday at the Angry Armadillo, 3704 West Wall Street. Johnson expects to have at least one town hall a month between now and November 2nd. I am running at large, Johnson said. I want to hear what people have issues with. Once I am elected, I will continue to host town halls to constantly be in contact with the residents. That is what representatives should be doing. Not everyone has time to go to meetings. The race is expected to feature at least six candidates, including two incumbents. Still, Johnson states he is going in with a mindset to win. He told the reporter Telegram he already has a Facebook page set up. Facebook.com/djohnsonforcity-council. And a website will soon follow. He also told the reporter Telegram that he already has a record of action when it comes to city issues. He said his work with the council and city government has led to results, specifically with issues at the skate park, including drainage. I didn't decide to run before getting stuff done, Johnson said. I'm already doing that. Those who have filed or announced their respective candidacies for the at-large election are Spencer Robnett Michael Trost, Robin Poole, Ross Schumann, and Dan Corrales. The Midland City Secretary's Office reports that the filing period will take place from July 19th to August 16th. To see the map of City Council districts, go to https://www.midlandtexas.gov/238/mayor-city-council. This article is entitled "Midland Teen Charged with Murder in July 14th Shooting" by Caitlin Randall. Cole Moody, 18, was arrested and charged with murder on July 16th for his alleged involvement in the shooting death of another teenager. Officers responded to the 1400 block of Chestnut Street on July 14th in reference to a shooting, according to Moody's arrest affidavit. While officers were at the first location, a man called dispatch and reported that another man had been shot and left in an alley behind the convenience store located at Wall and O Streets. Officers located Bryson Lee Richardson, 18, in the alley with a gunshot wound to his chest, the affidavit states. He was transported to the emergency room where he died of his injuries. The man who had previously called dispatch allegedly called again and identified himself as Cole Moody, according to the affidavit. Moody allegedly told officers that he and Richardson were planning to rob a group of people at the time of the incident. The affidavit states the two teens had arranged a meeting with unnamed individuals under the premise of selling a firearm, but had instead planned to rob the group they were meeting. Moody allegedly told police Richardson shot at the individuals to rob them, and they returned fire, hitting Richardson. Moody allegedly admitted to bringing Richardson to the alleyway and leaving the scene before calling 911 for help. Because of his involvement in an aggravated robbery that caused a death, Moody was charged with murder, the affidavit states. Moody is currently being held at the Midland County Detention Center on a $1 million bond. He is also facing two charges for theft of a firearm and one charge for violation of parole. Richardson was born in College Station and had two children, 2-year-old and 1-year-old sons, according to an online obituary. This article is entitled "Bezos Crew Launch into Space from West Texas" by Andrea Leinfelder, staff writer. Van Horn. Jeff Bezos roared into space Tuesday, officially opening West Texas for space tourism and loudly celebrating the company he so quietly founded 21 years ago. "We're going to build a road to space," he said Tuesday during a post-launch news conference. "What we're doing is the first step of something big, and I know what that feels like. I did it almost 3 decades ago with Amazon." Bezos, who is no longer Amazon's CEO, was one of the 4 people on Blue Origin's first crewed flight. The New Shepard rocket system lifted off from Launch Site 1, a private facility north of Van Horn, just before 8:12 a.m. Tuesday. The entire ride lasted 10 minutes and 10 seconds. The crew gazed at the world from 66.5 miles above sea level. They did backflips and caught skittles in their mouths. "It's dark up there," shouted 82-year-old Wally Funk, who let out periodic cheers during the flight. Their capsule landed beneath parachutes and a triumphant Bezos emerged wearing his cowboy hat. He was followed by the company's first commercial customer, 18-year-old Oliver Damon, Funk, and his brother Mark Bezos. Funk flung her arms wide open and flashed a massive grin to the crowd of friends and family. She had waited 60 years for this moment. "I want to go again, fast," she said. "I loved every minute of it. I just wish it had been longer. I could do a lot more rolls and twists and so forth. But there was not quite enough room for all four of us to do all those things. In 1961, 3 years before Bezos was born, Funk volunteered for a privately funded program that tested women for astronaut fitness. She underwent the same physical and mental tests as NASA's male astronauts, but was never sent into space. "We can confirm that Wally once again in training outperformed the men," Bezos said. "Now she's a small part of a growing class of astronauts who are taking short jaunts to space and back." In addition to Blue Origin's flight on Tuesday, Virgin Galactic's VSS Unity had its first fully crewed test flight, 2 pilots and 4 passengers, including billionaire founder Richard Branson, on July 11th from New Mexico. This was also a suborbital flight. Blue Origin was first to announce its mission, but Virgin Galactic was first to fly. This prompted Blue Origin to market its vehicle by listing Blue Origin and Virgin Galactic attributes side by side. Top of that list was how high the vehicles fly. Where is space? It's difficult to pin down where the Earth's atmosphere ends and space begins. For starters, this boundary fluctuates given how the atmosphere interacts with the sun, said Phil Smith, a space industry analyst at the analytics and engineering firm Bryce Tech. Governments also use different measurements. The U.S. Federal Aviation Administration and the U.S. military have used the 50-mile threshold for purposes of awarding astronaut wings. Virgin Galactic flies above 50 miles. The Fédération Aéronautique Internationale recognizes the boundary of space at 62 miles, known as the Kármán line, for purposes of aeronautical and astronautical resident records. Blue Origin flights surpassed this higher threshold. New Shepard was designed to fly above the Kármán line, so none of our astronauts have an asterisk next to their name, Blue Origin said on Twitter. Smith said several scholars feel 50 miles is more appropriate boundary. Some satellites have the lowest part of their orbit around 50 miles. My guess is that most people will agree that missions above 50 miles will be space flights, Smith said in an email. Greg Autry, a clinical professor of space leadership, policy, and business for Arizona State University, said it's a silly argument and amusing online discussion. In my mind, and I think the way that most potential customers view it, the boundary to space is when I'm floating in free fall in a black sky, he said via email. The stars are out during the day, and I can see the thin atmosphere below me wrapped around a curving globe. 50 miles qualifies for that. NASA awards the astronaut designation after a candidate has completed his or her training. That person becomes a flown astronaut after launching and landing in a spacecraft. When NASA astronaut Nick Hague's mission was aborted, there was an issue with the Russian Soyuz's rocket booster after it launched, and the capsule was safely pulled away from the rocket. He was considered a flown astronaut because he launched and landed in a spacecraft on an intended mission to the International Space Station. Van Horn. Tuesday's crew received specially designed Blue Origin wings after their flight, and Bezos took a moment to thank the town of Van Horn, which has had a front row seat to the company's development. "This is a small and amazing little town, and you know, we're making a dent in it," Bezos said. "And we appreciate you for allowing us to be part of your town." Blue Origin and Van Horn are connected by Texas 54, though a portion of this highway was closed during Tuesday's launch. Some locals drove as far north as they could to see the action. Arely Zamudio, 18, arrived about 30 minutes prior to liftoff. She's studying aerospace engineering at the University of Texas at Austin. "I was honestly a little overwhelmed," she said. "We were all just waiting to see the remarkable moment." But for this launch, she had to stand farther back than usual. and that deterred Penny Self, who had hoped to take her three grandchildren and her great-nephew. She didn't feel the view from the roadblock was much better than the RV park she owns, so they left and watched it from there. Something this big, he should have had a place for people to go and park, Self said. Kids are interested in it. Tuesday was the 16th flight for New Shepard, and Blue Origin chose this date to coincide with the 52nd anniversary of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepping on the moon. They made history by landing on the moon, Blue Origin CEO Bob Smith said in a pre-launch news conference, and we are working hard each and every day to be good stewards of that legacy, to live up to those high standards and to go even further in our leg of this multi-generational journey to space. The company often honors NASA heritage. Its reusable New Shepard rocket system is named for the first American in space. NASA astronaut Alan Shepard flew 116 miles high and then came back down. The flight on May 5, 1961, lasted about 15 and a half minutes. Shepard did not circle the Earth. The technology on New Shepard is overkill for suborbital tourism, Bezos said, but landing the rocket vertically has given the company practice with a technology that is scaling for New Glenn, a rocket that's being developed to propel payloads into orbit. New Glenn could take its maiden flight in late 2022, the company said in February. The rocket was named for NASA astronaut John Glenn, who was the first American to orbit the Earth. Glenn circled the globe three times in a February 20, 1962 flight that lasted nearly 5 hours. The right price. Sales for New Shepard are approaching $100 million, Bezos said. He did not specify how many people have purchased tickets or what they are paying. Blue Origin is planning to have two more crewed flights this year. The company held an auction for a seat on its first crewed mission. This began with sealed online bidding where people blindly offered how much they would pay to go to space. That was followed by unsealed online bidding where people could see the highest bid, and then a live auction that fetched a winning bid of $28 million. This money is being donated to Blue Origin's Club for Future Foundation. The auction's other competitive bidders were offered a chance to purchase seats on subsequent flights. Damon's father, the CEO of an investment firm in the Netherlands, had participated in the auction and secured a seat for his son on the second New Shepard flight. Damon was moved to the first flight because the $28 million bidder had scheduling conflicts. To Phil Smith with Bryce Tech, the auction was a Blue Origin marketing strategy to raise awareness of their first flight. Autry, however, thinks Blue Origin is trying to figure out what people are willing to pay. And rather than committing to a price like Virgin Galactic, which initially sold seats at $200,000 and later increased its prices, Blue Origin will fetch as much money as it can while demand is high. Right now, demand exceeds supply, Autry said. Nobody in their right mind would sell for less than they can get. The investors won't allow it. I think prices will go up for both suborbital and orbital, and then they'll come down, but not until the demand has been supplied. That's economics 101. Bezos said commercial spaceflight will need to follow the same trajectory as commercial airlines. And right now, space is in the phase where biplanes are flying to a farmer's field and charging people for a few minutes in the air. That's what we're doing right now, Bezos said. But you know where that barnstorming phase leads? To 787s. And that's what we have to do. This article is entitled Education Groups Unite by the Midland Reporter Telegram. On Tuesday, the executive boards of Educate Midland and the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin officially announced the unification of the two organizations. These leaders will encompass a regional approach by having representation of leadership from Midland, Odessa, and soon-to-be-added area communities to truly encompass the regional outreach. The group has adopted the Education Partnership's ongoing mission, creating a community where kids love to learn, teachers love to teach, and people love to live, while striving to be the highest performing educational region in the state of Texas, according to a press release. We are excited to align and bring a true region-wide approach to collective impact in the Permian Basin, Educate Midland Board President Carmen Hendricks Bryant said. This united entity is expected to help improve educational outcomes in our region, cradle to career. Based on this new configuration, Adrian Vega will continue to serve as the executive director of the EPPB, with the addition of Mike Mills and Becca Myers of Educate Midland as team members. This article is entitled, Man Charged for Robbery and Assault at Kentquick, by Caitlin Randall. Timothy Joe Ledesma, 32, was arrested Sunday for allegedly attempting to steal a truck and assaulting several people at the Kentquick at 3310 West Wall Street. Ledesma allegedly attempted to steal a truck parked outside the Kentquick by punching a passenger in the vehicle while the driver was inside the convenience store, according to Ledesma's arrest affidavit. The driver then went outside and got into an altercation with Ledesma. While the two were fighting, the truck rolled into the store, according to the affidavit. Ledesma then allegedly went into the store and began throwing beer bottles and other objects at customers in the store and a store clerk. He also allegedly stabbed the driver of the truck with a pair of scissors, the affidavit states. Witnesses told officers that at one point, a man came into the Kentquick with a firearm to help clear customers out of the store during Ledesma's alleged attack. The store clerk told police she brought a customer and the customer's teenage daughter into a back room to protect them from the commotion. Ledesma has been charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and robbery. On Tuesday, he was being held at the Midland County Detention Center on a $75,000 bond. This article is entitled, UT Sought Consultants' Help in Revamping Eyes of Texas, by Kate McGee, Texas Tribune. As outrage swirled among University of Texas at Austin students last fall over the school's alma mater, The Eyes of Texas, and its early association with campus minstrel shows, President Jay Hartzell made a classic higher education decision. He organized a committee. This one, he said, would include 24 Longhorn athletes, historians, professors, and students who would investigate and chronicle the full history of the eyes and recommend ways we can openly acknowledge, share, and learn from it. But by the time the group released its final report in March, a new name had quietly been added to its ranks. Brad Dutzer, a Houston consultant who helps organizations with everything from company culture to crisis communications and branding. In fact, UT Austin had hired Dutzer and his company to 2 contracts worth up to $1.1 million to revamp the image of the alma mater, along with broader organizational projects, including a new communication and engagement strategy for the university, and defining what it means to be a Longhorn, according to copies of the contracts obtained by the Texas Tribune through an open records request. Ultimately, the committee's report concluded the intent of the song was not overtly racist and could not find primary documents that tied the phrase to Confederate General Robert E. Lee, as previously asserted by some members of the school community. Dutzer's involvement in the group's work was so significant that he was listed as a chair of the committee in its final report. Dutzer, who is white, was also assigned to handle multiple diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, including to develop the plan to create a more welcoming campus and community. This article is entitled, Virus Risks State Dems' Chance to Meet with Biden, by Todd J. Gilman, Dallas Morning News. Washington. After 8 nights in a hotel a half mile from the White House, the Texas Democrats who fled Austin over a voting rights dispute had grown a bit impatient for an invitation to meet with President Joe Biden. "We know the president is watching, and we're waiting for him to call," said State Representative Ina Meñares, Democrat, San Antonio. "We are willing and ready to meet with him whenever he would like." But that possibility grew remote Tuesday when an aide to Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who had chaperoned the Texans at the Capitol last week, tested positive for COVID-19. So did a White House aide who may have spent time with the runaway legislators, 6 of whom have tested positive since Friday, 3 days after they spent an hour with Vice President Kamala Harris. "There has not been a meeting planned, and there hasn't been a change to that," said White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, confirming that a fully vaccinated White House official tested positive on Monday and is experiencing mild symptoms. Contact tracing showed no exposure for the president, vice president, or senior officials, though news of a breakthrough case afflicting someone who had been vaccinated was worrisome. As for the president's message to Texans, she added, "Thanks for standing up for voting rights and the rights of Americans to have our voices heard at the voting booth. And we appreciate your efforts in that regard. And implicitly, keep your distance." Everyone stricken so far, the 6 Texas lawmakers and the aides to Pelosi and Biden, was fully vaccinated. That should confer protection against any serious illness and mute the potential for contagion. "We're still working diligently through the COVID protocols that we've already set in place," said State Representative Ron Reynolds, referring to daily tests for lawmakers and aides since Saturday, when the first 3 tested positive. But the White House takes the health of the 78-year-old president very seriously. "The president is vaccinated, and that means he is protected," Psaki said, adding that Biden is tested every 2 weeks. "I'm tested twice a week. Many are tested twice a week. Some are tested once a week. We're all vaccinated." Rapid tests are mandatory for journalists and others who enter the Oval Office or other meeting rooms with Biden or Harris. Until June 7th, testing was required for anyone entering the White House complex, whether they might be in proximity to the president or not. That requirement has since been lifted for people who are fully vaccinated. But White House protocols still aim to keep out anyone recently exposed, and the 55 Texas Democrats have been potential vectors since fleeing Austin. Republicans point to photos of them aboard a flight to Washington, none wearing a mask, technically allowed because it was a chartered flight, but a violation of CDC guidelines. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, July 21st. Donna Ruth Massey Booth. Donna Ruth Massey Booth, 83, went peacefully to be with her Lord and Savior on Friday, July 9th in Dallas. Donna was born in Memphis, but lived most of her life in Midland and considered it her home. Donna's life was celebrated by her children with a private gathering on July 12th. Her memory may be honored with a gift to the Midland SPCA, 2701 South County Road, 1206, Midland, Texas, 79706. She is survived by her daughter, Vicki Booth Smith of Dallas, son Archie Booth and his wife Tammy of McKinney, sister Charlotte Romine of Sacramento, California, brother Charles Harris Massey and his wife Nan of Georgetown, sister-in-laws Nancy Jones, Jean Wood, Zella Huggins, Cynthia Huber, and her husband David, as well as many beloved nieces and nephews. She is preceded in death by her parents, Charles and Ramel Massey, her husband A.W. Bud Booth, and son-in-law George H. Smith. Jimmy Ray Hughes. Jimmy Ray Hughes was born in Empire, Oklahoma, October 7, 1935, to Reginald and Etta Potts Hughes. Jimmy's soulmate and the love of his life, Elaine, passed away in February of 2020. He is survived by his daughter, Robin Hughes of Midland, sister Donna Romaine of Guthrie, Oklahoma, and sister Bobby Presgrove of Comanche, Oklahoma, along with many nieces and nephews. There will be a celebration party for both Jimmy and Elaine in Oklahoma in October. The exact date will be determined by the Oklahoma football schedule. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Carlotta Bernard Reyes. Carlotta Bernard Reyes, 86, of Midland, passed away Sunday, July 18th. Professional services conducted by Ellis Funeral Home. Cecilia G. Lopez. Cecilia G. Lopez, 92 years old, of Midland, passed away Saturday, July 17th. Viewing will be Wednesday, July 21st, from noon to 6:30 p.m., with rosary starting at 7 p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Services are scheduled for Thursday, July 22nd, at 10 a.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. She is survived by six children, Julia Olguin, Monica Sosa, Linda Quiroz, Domingo Lopez II, Polo Lopez, and Jerry Lopez. Three brothers, Richard Garcia, Joe Ben Garcia, and Philip Garcia. 17 grandchildren, 53 great-grandchildren, and 8 great-great-grandchildren. Francine Dawson. Francine Dawson, 84, of Midland, passed away on Sunday, July 18th. A memorial service will be held 11 a.m. Friday, July 23rd, at Grace Presbyterian Church. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Kendall Lee Skinner. Kendall Lee Skinner, 58, passed away July 6th in Houston. Kendall was born September 14, 1962, in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, to Jerry and Shirley Skinner. He moved with his family to Midland in 1968, graduated from Midland High School, and obtained a degree in history from the University of Texas of the Permian Basin. He is survived by two sons, Eric and Cody of Minnesota, his mother Shirley Stevenson of Midland, two brothers, Randall of Midland and Sheldon of Houston, as well as numerous nieces and nephews. A celebration of life will be announced at a later date.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. Education Unification Now Official by Ruth Campbell. The caption reads, Ector County Independent School District Superintendent Scott Murray speaks during a press conference announcing the unification of Educate Midland and the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin Tuesday morning at the Region 18 Education Service Center in Midland. The merger of the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin and Educate Midland, announced Tuesday, will strengthen the work that educators and business people were already doing toward improving and streamlining efforts to head in the same direction. The product of the unification was announced at the Region 18 Education Service Center and featured everyone from university and college presidents to superintendents, nonprofit, business, and industry leaders. The occasion marked one of the few times that Odessa and Midland have come together for a greater purpose. Other examples are the formation of MOTRAN, the West Texas Food Bank, and the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Educate Midland was organized in 2015 to support and enhance the offerings of Midland Independent School District. 1 year later, Odessa community leaders organized the Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, aimed at improving the overall education offerings in the region with Odessa public, private, charter, and the higher education systems as their main focus area. But organizations set their sight on the overall improvements of education, yet with differing efforts, areas of focus. Through the years, and while partnering on various projects, it became evident to the organization's leaders, as is the case with many things in the Midland-Odessa area, we are better together, a news release stated. The organization will adopt the name Education Partnership of the Permian Basin, and Adrian Vega will continue to serve as executive director with the addition of Mike Mills and Becca Myers of Educate Midland as team leaders. The staffs of the organizations have already been working together on several projects, including the Power Bags benefiting newborns in both communities, as well as the Grow Our Own Network program, which focuses on strengthening educational pathways and experiences for students that are parallel to the workforce needs of our Permian Basin businesses, the release said. The goal of the Unity entity is to help improve educational outcomes in the region, cradle to career, the release said. This is a momentous occasion for the entire Permian Basin, said Lorraine Perryman, president of the Education Partnership. Perryman said she watched the launch of Blue Origin, Jeff Bezos's civilian flight into space Tuesday morning. In the last 9 days, she said, it has been demonstrated that people can leave the Earth and open new pathways for tourism and exploration, and improvements on our planet and for our planet for generations here that will be forthcoming. We are here today for the kind of blast-off, a unification of two very powerful education entities in the Permian Basin, Educate Midland and Education Partnership of the Permian Basin. They started about a year apart, and over the years it became clear to us that we would never achieve our goals totally. Although great work has been done in both organizations, but we would never achieve our goals totally without working together. So we decided to unify. We're like East and West Germany, Perryman said. Ector County ISD Superintendent Scott Murray illustrated the need for teamwork with the story of a senior at a school where he was an administrator. The student was going to drop Spanish 2, which Murray said would help his success in college. His mother, who was raising him on her own, didn't have the resources to help her son, he said. But we, being the counselors, the teachers, the administrators, and the community, did have the ability to create and effect change in the child's life. So fast forward, Winston now has a master's degree, and his mom did not do it by herself. She did it because of the power of collective greatness, collective impact, as we call it today. But I'll say greatness, and if it can happen in the life of one child, Winston, it can also happen in an entire community, Murray said. Like Vega, Murray noted that ECISD cannot do this work alone. This unification is the very loud statement that as a Permian Basin, we can't do this work alone. It is the power of collective greatness that will allow us to be great for all of us as organizations and for every single child, including the Winstons that we serve every single day, Murray said. Students from the Permian Basin feed into Odessa College, Midland College, and Howard College, and that ultimately feed into UTPB and Sol Ross as they branch out into the region, Vega said. Bethany Solis, Executive Director of IDEA Public Schools for the Permian Basin, said, at IDEA, they believe an excellent education is the most powerful weapon in the war against inequities that way too many of our local students and families face. IDEA has opened a campus in Midland and is opening another one in Odessa in August. Having a front row seat to IDEA's success in South Texas, which previously was the lowest performing region in the state, Solis saw them go through a process of unifications of organizations, ISDs, and charters coming together in powerful ways. And over the course of about a decade, they became the highest performing region in the state of Texas. So I know it can be done. I've seen it. And I know that our West Texas grit and sense of adventure and creativity will see us through any of the unique challenges that we face that other regions do not. Will allow us to be the next proof point that our children can shine and become number one in the state of Texas, Solis said. Permian Strategic Partnership President, CEO, Tracy Bentley expressed appreciation for being included in Tuesday's announcement. Permian Strategic Partnership is a collaboration between local communities and oil and gas companies operating in the Permian Basin, its website says. We feel so passionate about this unification and know that this will help build capacity for improved education outcomes across the entire Permian Basin and not just in individual communities, Bentley said. We think that the combined power of education and the education partnership will lead to great outcomes for this region for generations to come. Our students are our future, as we all know, so focusing on improving educational outcomes not only addresses the PSP's educational priorities in the education space, but also its workforce development as we seek to grow and retain a quality workforce. Fostering education excellence is a top priority for the Permian Strategic Partnership, and we are committed to supporting education and workforce efforts that will be addressed by this expanded partnership, she added. Colin Sewell, president of the Sewell family of companies, said when David Ross Boyd, the first president of the University of Oklahoma, stepped off the train in a treeless spot where the university would be located, his first two words were, "What possibilities?" He urged those in attendance to abide by those words, but also consider the responsibilities. One day, Jim Nelson, a former Texas Education Commissioner and former interim ECISD superintendent, told Sewell and Perryman in Sewell's office that parents are sending them the best kids they've got. The danger in education is often to say that it's somehow the kids' fault. But I think we all know that if the grown-ups would get it right, kids would have a much better opportunity, Sewell said. And so while I agree 100% with Lorraine's statement that we are unifying today and we're here to support education in the Permian Basin, we also are going to hold each of you and ourselves accountable and responsible for doing a lot better job than we've been doing, because there are hundreds of thousands of young men and women who are counting on us as grown-ups to get it right. Because us getting it right determines the possibilities they have for their own adult grown-up life, Sewell added. Blast off. The caption reads, Oliver Damon from Left, Mark Bezos and Wally Funk listen as Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon and space tourism company Blue Origin, makes comments after their flight experience from the spaceport near Van Horn on Tuesday. Blue Origin completes first human flight. Bezos announces winners of newly founded Courage and Civility Awards by Royal McGregor. Propelled by liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen, billionaire Jeff Bezos and the other members of the Blue Origin crew entered space Tuesday during a 10-minute flight from outside of Van Horn. This was the latest venture to the edge of space as part of Blue Origin's New Shepard flight. Bezos entered space with his brother Mark, along with the oldest and youngest persons to complete the trip. The oldest being 82-year-old aviation pioneer Wally Funk, while the youngest being 18-year-old Dutch student Oliver Damon. The ellipsed mission time, according to Blue Origin, was 10 minutes and 10 seconds that began at 8:12 a.m. and it became the first autonomous flight to space. My expectations were high and they were dramatically exceeded, Jeff Bezos said during the press conference after the New Shepard flight. The Associated Press detailed that Blue Origin reached an altitude of about 66 miles, which was more than 10 miles higher than Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic July 11th ride. The 60-foot booster accelerated to Mach 3, or three times the speed of sound, to get the capsule high enough before separating and landing upright. Bezos said during the press conference that Blue Origin will have two more human flights this year. He said he doesn't know the timeline after that. Bezos explained that the expected mission life for vehicles like New Shepard is between 25 and 100 flights. We would like to make that closer to 100 than to 25, Bezos said. Once it is close to 100, we will push it past 100. That's how we get operation use. Bezos was also asked about how to bring the cost down to make flying in space more accessible for people around the world. We've got to do it the same way we did it with commercial airline travel, Bezos explained. In addition to the flight, Bezos spent the first part of the press conference honoring the first two recipients of Courage and Civility Award winners. The first was political contribution Van Jones, and the other was chief and humanitarian Jose Andres. Each person will receive $100 million to spend on charities or nonprofit organizations of their choosing. Sometimes dreams come true, Jones said during the press conference. Sometimes dreams come true. The headlines around the world should be, "Anything is possible if you believe." Andres said during the press conference, "Whether you are on the ground or on top of the world, it's obvious that we are one people, one planet, sharing our daily bread together." The captions read, above, Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon and space tourism company Blue Origin, exits the Blue Origin's New Shepard capsule after it parachuted safely down to the launch area Tuesday with passengers Mark Bezos, Oliver Damon, and Wally Funk near Van Horn. Below, spectators watch Blue Origin and Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, his brother Mark Bezos, an 82-year-old female passenger, aerospace pioneer Wally Funk, and 18-year-old Oliver Damon fly on board the first manned flight of New Shepard 16, Tuesday morning, approximately 20 miles north of Van Horn. The journey was controlled by the craft's autonomous flight system.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.